That was a blessing. All right, Joshua 7 this morning, really 7 and 8. And if you recalled, we have been, last time I was here, we've been studying this book of Joshua, considering the difference between the spiritual man and the carnal man, being spiritually minded versus carnally minded, between serving God from the heart and just going through the motions. And when we were last together, we saw the great victory at Jericho as the people in perfect obedience to the Word of God marched around that city in silence. On the seventh day, they shouted and the walls came tumbling down, and God gave the people great victory. We thank the Lord for that. The Bible says in Joshua 6:26, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man therefore, or man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." So the Lord was with Joshua. His fame was noised throughout all the country. And God had given them a great victory, but he gave this warning in the victory. Look at verse 18, Joshua 6. "And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing." Now, the city is accursed, and everything, the things pertaining to the city, are accursed. He says, if you don't keep yourselves from the accursed thing, you will make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. And all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They should come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, in the seventh chapter of Joshua, we begin to move from our individual responsibility to be spiritually minded and spirit-controlled before the Lord, and move into our corporate or our group responsibility to be spiritually minded and controlled by the Holy Spirit, because my actions do not only affect my life and my walk with God, they affect the life and the walk of God of those who are associated with me. In the Old Testament times, every citizen of the nation of Israel was affected by the good deeds or by the misdeeds of every other citizen and every other member of the nation of Israel. In this New Testament age, every saved, born-again believer is affected by the good deeds or by the misdeeds of every other born-again believer. The Bible says it this way in the New Testament. I'll read you two verses. Romans 12 and verse number 15 says this. Romans 12, 15. "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." The joy of others, we should partake of and participate in that joy. The sorrow of others, we should partake of and participate in that joy. If you think that Christianity is your little walk with God exclusive from everyone else, and you come to church for what you can get out of it and what it means to you and how you enjoy the service or the music or the preaching, you are carnally minded. You are part of a body. Your deeds or lack of deeds, your good actions or bad actions affect every single one of us. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, the Bible says that there should be no schism in the body, no division of any kind, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Got that? 1 Corinthians 15, 26. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So, if I am rejoicing in the Lord and led by and guided by the Holy Spirit of God, that has an effect upon you. If I am carnally minded and wrapped up in the flesh and living a self-centered life and pursuing the things of the world, that has a negative effect upon you. It can't be any other way. If one member of your physical body is in disarray, it will affect every other member of your physical body. If one member of your physical body is working properly and as it should, that will benefit all the other members of your physical body. And the Lord gives us that picture of our relationship one to another in Christ. It does matter how you live. Not just to you, but to every other person who is saved. People say, well, you know, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, it does hurt somebody else. Well, as long as nobody else is injured by it, everybody else is injured by it, even if they're not aware of it. If you're not praying for me, I don't have to know that you're not praying for me to be harmed by that lack of service. If I don't love you, you don't have to know that I really can't stand you. That affects you whether you know it or not. Amen. If I am laying down my life for the brethren, if I am giving my all to Jesus Christ and to His church, you may not have any idea what I was doing yesterday or the day before, but if I have devoted myself to the service of God, you were benefited by that sacrifice without even being aware of it. That's what the Bible teaches. Now watch this in Joshua chapter 7. There's just been a great victory at Jericho. God is just given them conquest over the stronghold of Canaan land. And the Bible says in chapter 7, verse 1, but, that's a tough way to start a chapter. Especially a chapter that follows one of great victory. Now, chapter 1, it's all been good. Chapter 2, it's all been good. Chapter 3 and 4, it's all been good. Chapter 5 and 6, it's all been good. But, so we're going to change the theme, aren't we? Now watch. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. Now, isn't that a striking verse? One man disobeyed the Lord and took something that didn't belong to him. And yet the Holy Spirit says the children of Israel did that thing. Why? Because He is not an individual separate from the nation. He is a member of a national entity that stands or falls together, and His sin, God identified it as the sin of the nation. You see that in the verse. You understand that if I am sinning this afternoon, as opposed to living righteously, that is not just me sinning. That is a member of the body of Christ who is sinning and therefore bringing the body of Christ into a sinful condition. Well, we're a long way from thinking like members of a body, aren't we? Well, will this hurt me? Will anybody catch me? Will anybody know I did this? Will God reveal it? Have I covered all the bases? Okay, it's just my own secret sin. It's not going to hurt anybody else. That's not true. The Holy Spirit said the nation sinned, and the sequel reveals that only one man committed the trespass. But that one man was not an individual entity. He was a member of a nation. I'm not an individual entity. I'm a member of a body. And if I rejoice, you rejoice. And if I fall, you fall. And if I'm spiritually minded, that helps you. And if I'm carnally minded, that hurts you. Now, if we got the material from chapters 1 through 6, where we actually care about others, not ourselves, that's a striking thing. Verse 1 goes on to say, "In the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Now, Joshua doesn't know anything about this. The other 1.5 million people that make up the nation don't know anything about it. They don't know that Achan is a thief. and they don't know that God is angry with them because of Achan's sin. Verse 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. That's the next point of conquest, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Beth-El. And spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. Are they one? Are they a national entity? Didn't they just have a little problem on the wilderness side, Jordan, when two tribes didn't want to go up? But now somebody's come back, and according to the sight of their eyes, they've got a bright idea. We don't need to stay united. We don't all need to go. Ai, why look, if we took Jericho with such ease, Ai won't be any problem at all. You didn't take Jericho. God took Jericho and gave it to you. You didn't defeat the armies at Jericho. God discomfited them and delivered them into your hands. But now all of a sudden, because you won one battle, you think you can go out and win them all without consulting the Lord and without being unified with your brethren. He returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. Did God say that? Or was that their estimation? Had they gone to the Lord in prayer about it? Or are they leaning to their own understanding? Are they walking out? Look, it's just as bad to walk after the sight of your eyes and say, we can't take Canaan because of the giants. It's just as bad to say, hey, we can take Ai, no problem. There's just a few of them, and we're great fighting men. Both show a leaning to one's own understanding and not a dependence upon the revealed truth of God's Word. God said, if everybody will go, you can take Jericho. If everybody will go, you can take Ai. In the first case, they said, look, if everybody goes, it doesn't matter. We can't take that city. In the second place, they said, we can take that city, no problem. Everybody doesn't need to go. Look, you know what the safe rule is? Find out what the Bible says and do it. Everything else is your opinion, your feeling, your impression. Well, I think God's speaking to my heart. I feel like God would have me. You better leave all that stuff alone. Because if God could trust your thinking, we'd be here without a Bible. We'd just be left to our thinking. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. They're not acknowledging God here. Joshua sent spies. The spies brought a report. Joshua and the men are going to act based upon that report. They do not consult the Lord. Verse 4, so there went up thither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Oh no! Ai defeated us! No, they didn't. They defeated 3,000 of you. There's 1.5 million of you. Boy, they hit the panic button. Verse 6, Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. That's symbolic of being dead and buried. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Isn't it amazing, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen, how you can go from marching confidently around Jericho to sniveling and whining on your face? Now, let's be honest about it. I don't care if you've been saved 40 years. Can't you go from the mountaintop of victory to the ditch of defeat faster than your car can get off the road? Isn't it unbelievable how, look, listen, I'm just telling you something. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You do not know enough Bible. You have not won enough people to the Lord. You have not served God long enough to survive one day without the Lord. There's no momentum in this thing. There's no carryover from one day to the next. If I seek the face of God and yield to His control today, I have victory. And if I get up tomorrow and act just like any old heathen that's never been born again, I can wreck the whole day, no matter how good it's been going. Well, you know, things have been going really good, Brother James, and we just kind of slacked up on our Bible reading a little bit. That's all it took, wasn't it? Just a little bit. We just laid out of church, a couple of weeks. Before long, we were just about out altogether. Yeah, that's all it takes. Here's old Joshua, man, he's praying. You brought us up over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. No sympathy, no compassion. Get up. Get up. What are you doing, man? You come to me now? You didn't ask me about AI. You didn't ask me what to do. I didn't tell you what to do. I didn't give you any directions. What are you doing? Get up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. Really? Did Israel sin or did Achan sin? They're a unit. They're a whole. They are one national entity. It does matter, young man, how you live. It matters to me. It affects my family. It does matter, young lady, what you do in the private hours of your life. It affects me. It affects my family. It affects this church. Absolutely matters. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now here's what happened. Somebody in that nation took something that did not belong to them. And then they followed it up with dissembling. You know what that means? That means you keep up this front to try and convince people you're not a dirty, low-down thief. That's what Achan did.
Well, praise the Lord. We whipped him there at Jericho, but boy, I'm really concerned about what happened up there at Ai, aren't you?
You'd have never known Achan did it. You know why? Because he's sitting around the dinner table just like the rest of them, said, boy, it's just awful what happened up there at Ai. I can't believe it. What do you think went wrong? Was it our battle plan? Was it Joshua? Maybe God's not with him? And nobody knows he's the rat because he's dissembling.
So, well, you know, preacher, you're preaching on that thing the other day about this and that, and I'd have come up there and prayed, and God would really speak my heart and dealing with me, but if I walked up there, boy, everybody would think so you just go on dissembling? Just go on hiding your sin, trying to make everybody think you're right with God and spiritual and love the Lord?
Come on, can't we just put our Bible under our arm and smile and shake everybody's hand and just be as nice to the people you hate as the people that you love? You know what that is? That's dissimulation. It's pretending to be what you're not for the purpose of preserving your own reputation, preserving your own esteem amongst the people that you're hanging out with. Listen, the church doesn't need to do that. We need to get right with God, not pretend we're right with God. We need to be serious about our walk with the Lord, not calculating how we can convince people we've got a serious walk with the Lord. Why come in here and say, praise the Lord, everything's great. Yeah, how's it going? Preacher, it's going really good. Why say that when it's not? If you're having trouble in your marriage, if you're having trouble with your children, if you're having trouble in your walk with God, if sin's got a hold of you, if you're not excited about being at church anymore, if you used to preach on the street and you quit, if you used to knock on doors and you quit, stop pretending everything's okay. Let's get right with God. It affects everybody. Too much playing going on. Too much pretending going on. Well, you know, if I don't keep up appearances, people think I'm not right with God. It doesn't matter if we think you're right with God or not. If you're not right with God, it's hurting us. It's hurting you. It's hurting your family. How's your prayer time? Oh, my prayer life's pretty good. You know you don't have one. Why would you say your prayer life's pretty good? So we'd all think you had a good prayer life. So what? It doesn't help you if we think you have a good prayer life. It doesn't help the church if we think you have a good prayer life. It doesn't help the gospel around the world if we think you have a good prayer life. Why pretend? Get right. Well, you know, if I start dealing with stuff in my life, people see me going to the altar and I start meeting with a pastor and I ask people to come over and pray with me and counsel with me, what do they think about me? They'll think you're getting serious about God. They'll think you genuinely want to get right with the Lord. How about that? And so what if everybody thought bad of you and you got right with God? Wouldn't you be better off right with God than right in public opinion polls? let's do a survey. Christopher, do you think Mary Lane's spiritual? Stephen, do you think Mary Lane's spiritual? Sam, you think Mary Lane's spiritual? Okay, Mary Lane, 87% think you're spiritual. You know what? If you're not spiritual, who cares? So you fooled everybody. What difference does it make? How many of you think Frank really got stung by a wasp? How many of you think Cindy whacked him right in the eyeball? The fact that we have an opinion about somebody doesn't really amount to anything in the reality of the situation. I'll tell you. When Jesus sat in that upper room at the what was called the Last Supper, He said, one of you that's sitting at this table is going to betray me. Isn't that right? And nobody pointed at Judas. Say why? Because he was perfectly capable of convincing the others he was just as right with God as they were. So what did it get him? What did he gain by pretending to be something he wasn't? Wouldn't he have been better off to just get right? We need to repent of our attempts to keep up an appearance and just go ahead and be who we are and let God help us get right. All right, verse number 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Why? Because one man committed this trespass, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Now, keep your finger right there and turn over to Corinthians. For, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's two different gods. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It's two different ways of living. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Two different ways of worshiping. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Okay? That's a done deal. Wherefore? Because of that. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, they're already part of a holy nation and a royal priesthood, a New Testament church, but he says if you want to enjoy the benefit of the relationship, let go of the accursed thing. Save people, man. They want to get close enough to God to have a decent life. But they don't want to let go of the world so that God controls their life. Lord, so man, you're hindering everybody. You're hurting everybody. If it's me, if it's you, whoever it is, it affects the whole. All right, verse 13, Joshua 7. Up. Sanctify the people and say... So it looks like Joshua didn't get up when God told him get up. See that? Verse 10, the Lord said to Joshua, get thee up. And God goes on talking here for about four verses. And then verse 13, he says, up! Did I tell you to get up? Of course, the Lord was chewing me out. I wouldn't be in too big a hurry to get off my face either. I'd stay right there where it's safe. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall be come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come by man, and it shall be. He that is taken shall be accursed with the accursed thing, shall be burnt with fire, all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Aren't you glad you're in New Testament times? God's dealing with it. Now look, you say, well, in Old Testament Israel, God was dealing with the physical people, set up a physical kingdom. That's right. And so they burned the physical body, they stoned the physical body. So that whole thing was physical. Praise the Lord, I'm out from under that. Really? Really? So you're okay with everything in your spiritual life being burned up? Come on now, this book of Joshua is about getting away from being carnally minded, becoming spiritually minded. You mean to tell me you bought into this charismatic lie that as long as you've still got your house and your car and your job and your money, everything's that you're okay with that? You have no joy in the Lord, you have no peace in your heart, you can't remember the last time you won somebody to Jesus Christ, you have absolutely no desire to witness, it's a burden to you to come to church, and you think it's okay because you still got your material things? What's the matter with you? How dare you ridicule a charismatic for speaking in tongues when your approach to life is exactly the same as theirs? As long as I've got the material things, I'm okay with God, no matter how, whether or not my spiritual life stinks. Come on. Can you not have a boat, a house, a car, money in the bank, and good health, and be on your way to hell? So, we have to understand that doesn't prove that everything's okay between you and God. So the fact that sin continues to control our lives and carnality continues to be the order of the day in our thought life, but we've still got all these material things, how dare we fall back on that as proof that we're okay with God? That hurricane came over our house the other night, and the roof stayed on, and the windows didn't break. And right across the street from me is a woman living with her boyfriend who drinks herself to sleep every night and gets up in the morning and starts drinking again, and her roof stayed on, and her windows didn't blow out. You know what that means? It just means somebody else's. That's all that means. It certainly doesn't mean, well, we prayed and God answered our prayers. Well, then He answered the prayers of a whole lot of heathen too. How about that? Just, look, we are living in a spiritual realm, kingdom of God, not a physical realm, kingdom of heaven, and we've got to quit pointing to our material blessings as proof that we're right with God. Because that is not necessarily so. Your spiritual life could be burned to the ground right now and you know it. And nobody else would know it because materially you're still doing pretty good. And that dissimulation enables you to continue to put up good appearances. Boy, I'd hate to come to church week after week after week and have no prayer life, no relationship to God, no desire to witness, and just going through the motions so my friends will think I'm right with God. What a miserable way to live, man. I bet when the news went out through Israel that the God who knows the hearts of all men was going to start narrowing that thing down tomorrow, and we're going to find out who stole something from Jericho, Achan probably a little bit nervous, but not too much. When they cast those lots and it came up his tribe, he probably felt a little tightening in his gut, don't you think? And when they cast those lots again and it came up his family, I imagine he began to look around and wonder if anybody's looking at him. By the time that thing's through, Achan is standing face to face with Joshua. You do remember from Numbers 23, be sure your sin will find you out.
Well, that's pretty freaky, man, how it ended up with...
Freaky? How they end up finding out it was Achan? Really? You mean like God doesn't know? What's freaky about that? So they cast these lots and they found out who the man was that was responsible. The Bible says in verse number 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. It would bring glory to God if we'd quit hiding our transgression. Scripture said, whoso covers his sins shall not prosper. Come on, let's just go ahead and get that thing out. Let's deal with it. Get some help. Get some people to pray for you. Root it out. Save your nation. Save your church. Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw... Genesis 3, how did this whole mess start? When the woman saw the tree. Right? Come on now. Hebrews 12 says what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us lay aside every sin and every weight, all that easily besets us. Looking unto Jesus. Author, you know what this world's about? They just want you to look at it. Just look. Hey, look over here. Look at this commercial. Look at this billboard. Look at this advertisement. Look at my body. Look at my play toys. Look what I got. Oh, look what he's got. Look what she's got. Thou should not covet another man's wife. Thou should not covet another man's property. Thou should not covet another man's goods. You know what all that is? It's looking at something you don't have and wanting it. Amen. Joshua, verse 28, can't answer. Joshua said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. Come on, who can blame the guy? He's been wearing the same clothes for 38 years. Saw it. It was brightly colored. Matched my shoes. Went good with my hair set off my eyes. A lot better made than that junk we were wearing down there in Egypt. Nice set of clothes. Here's my question for Achan. Hey, dummy, where are you going to wear it? He's got to wait till midnight, make sure the family's asleep, get out and put it on. If you're accursed for taking anything belongs to Jericho, you can't walk down the street in a Jericho Bobcats football jersey. Everybody's going to know you stole something you shouldn't have had. So here's this guy, and ask yourself, how much did he enjoy what he stole when he had to keep it hidden from everybody? He couldn't go out and show it off. He couldn't go out and enjoy it with his friends. He couldn't invite his neighbors in to see what he had. All he'd done is brought upon himself a source of grief and of fear and of trouble. Isn't that what all our secret sins are like? How can you enjoy it when you don't want anybody to know you're doing it? How can you fellowship with anybody when you don't want them to find out what you're up to? How can you talk about it? You know, that's what people like to talk about, what they're interested in. People like sports. They go to sports bars and do what? They talk about sports. They turn on a radio station where people are calling in to talk about sports. People like politics. They hang out with other people like politics, and they turn on radio shows to hear somebody talk about politics. I mean, it's an amazing country to think about it. Here's a drug addict, been married 3 times, and millions of people are tuning in to see what some plumber from Poughkeepsie has to say about the presidential race. Here's Bob in Philadelphia. Bob, what do you do? I clean buildings for a living. Well, Bob, why'd you call? My take on John Kerry is, who in the world cares what your take on John Kerry is? People are interested in politics. Isn't that right? Now look, if you're saved and born again and singing hymns in a church and carrying a Bible and fellowshipping with born-again people, you can't get on the phone and talk about your pot smoking. You can't sit in the fellowship hall and talk about how good that beer tasted. You can't give testimony in Sunday school about the girl that you're sinning with. Don't you understand? Sin is so deceitful and so harmful, and once you yield to it, you can't enjoy it. You got to try and hide it and keep it undercover. What fun is that? Here's what I did last week. Went to New York. We preached the gospel. We fellowshiped with God's people. We led some people to the Lord. What'd y'all do?
Well, preacher, a few of us snuck out and we robbed this liquor store.
Look, I can talk about what I did if it's right. You can talk about what you did if it's right. What do you got covered up? What do you got that you've got hidden? What have you got that you can't testify about? What do you have in your life that's not of good report? Listen to me. It hurts all of us. It might be a secret sin, but the effects are not secret. It might be well covered and well calculated and well hid, but God knows about it. It affects the whole nation. Young man, your mom may never find that stuff. God knows where it is, and it's hurting every other young man in this church. Young lady, your parents may not find out, his parents may not find out, but God knows about it, and it's hurting me and my wife and my children, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Cut it out! People got this idea that it's only a sin if I get caught. And it only hurts somebody if I get caught. As long as I keep it hidden, it's not going to amount to anything. Joshua chapter 7 proves that carnal line of thinking to be false.
Well, I got this goodly Babylonish garment. 200 shekels of silver. A wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Now look. Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Oh, well, that's great. Joshua, here's the deal. I stole this silver and I stole this gold. Well, no kidding. What'd you buy with it? Well, nothing. what'd you get with it? Well, nothing. Well, where is it? I buried it in the ground under my tent. Well, that's great. So I traded my life for something buried in my backyard. I traded the lives of a group of soldiers in Israel for something buried in the backyard. I traded God's power and blessing upon my whole nation for something buried in the backyard. Come on, people, this is a pretty good church, but we need to be a very good church. We need to be a great church. And what a sad thing that we won't sell out to God and live for the Lord because of something in our life and blessing of God upon our family and in our church for something that we have to keep hidden. What a pathetic way to live. Is that fair? I'm not trying to be mean. It's awful. So the Bible says, I took them. Hit them. Verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. He said, why didn't they just take his word for it? Because he's a liar and a thief. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah,
and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons, it affected his boys. And his daughters, it affected his daughters. And his oxen and his asses and his sheep, it affected his business life. And his tent, it affected his home and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? It hurt everybody. The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. That's tough, isn't it? But it's absolutely necessary. Because sin in the camp cost the whole nation. And sin in my life hurts you. And sin in your life hurts me. And the fact that it's hidden, and the fact that I can pretend it's not going on, does not change the outcome or the result. They lost at Ai before the thing was known. Men died at Ai before the thing was known. The nation was discouraged after the battle of Ai before the thing was known. And we'll see tonight in chapter 8, they could have whipped that town with no problem at all. Ai was not the problem. Their sin was the problem. In Hosea, I believe it's Hosea 2. Yes, Hosea chapter 2, verse number 14. Says Hosea 2:14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, that's the nation of Israel, bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. How about that? God said the place where sin is brought out into the open and dealt with and judged and put away, I will turn that place from a place of defeat into a door of hope. I will turn that place from a place of despair into a place of singing. I will turn that place from a place of fear and of lamentation into a place of joy if you just get that sin out and deal with it. Now, here's the carnal mind, and I'm done. Don't start packing. I'm done. I didn't say you were done. I'm done. The carnal mind says, God understands. God will forgive me. I've just got to make sure I don't get caught. The spiritual. I'm already caught because God knows about it. And it is affecting my church family. And I'm going to bring that thing out before the Lord and destroy it so I can get out of this pathetic life of misery and pretending and walk through that door of hope and get my song back, get my joy back. Praise the Lord. Good chapter, isn't it? So I'm not a thief. I wouldn't steal anything. If I'm sinning, I'm stealing from you. If you're covering sin in your life, you're stealing from me because we are robbing one another of God's power and God's victory and God's blessing in our lives. Amen. And God's good. Yeah, amen. Amen. Even right now, He's good. Would you please listen? We're not going to have a sin confessing meeting. God didn't say that. But I tell you, you just need to know that it might be hidden from everybody else's eyes, but it's not hidden from God's eyes. And until it's dealt with, it affects the whole body. And I want you to pray for me. I hope you do. I'm going to keep praying for you. We have got to be serious about living for the Lord. There just aren't enough of us left to keep playing church. We've got to be sold out to Jesus. We've got to be serious about this thing. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, send us out with your blessing today. May we genuinely and sincerely ponder these things in our hearts. Lord, deliver us from spending our day thinking about a storm. God, allow us to get our hearts and minds back on Jesus and do serious business with this truth from Joshua chapter 7. In His name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. All right, see you after a while.